In 2012, the Crack Senators podcast unit sent its final broadcast over the internet airwaves. These men retired from what was known as the Sens Underground and now live as ordinary fans in the Ottawa region. Still admired by their fans, they now survive as fond memories of hockey talk and laughter. Rising up from this underground movement, a new wave of call-ups have banded together to accept the torch and continue the good fight. If you're looking for a podcast, if you think you can handle them, and if you know where to download it, maybe you can listen to The B-Team.
Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network. Welcome to episode 27 of the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, May 29th, 2013. I'm Cardinal, and Pan, Canuck, and I are back to recap the Sens playoffs and season. It didn't end the way we hoped it would, but when I look back over it, I'm sad it's over, but I'm really happy with how the team did, and I'm proud of their pesky. Canuck, good to have you back in Ottawa this week. You made it home from Halifax?
Yeah, started the new job. I already had the first trip, and we're back. It's pretty busy. Lots of reading to do, but I guess I don't have hockey to distract me quite as much now.
Unfortunately, no. Pan, how's it feeling to be clean shaven again?
Why are we ending the season on the Kovalev episode?
Sure, there's another 27 out there.
Jeez. Anyways, it actually kind of feels great without the.
All right, rename.
Oh my god. Let's just like throw in like a 4-minute episode, call that 27, then end with 28. There you go.
We've done a bunch of those. We called them 26 and a third and 26 and two thirds. So 27
is where we're staying. Or maybe we just don't put in our whole effort tonight and just kind of float. Oh, wait, okay. We do that all the time.
So we're gonna mail it in tonight. Okay, that's what we're doing. Fair enough.
Pretty much, yeah.
Kind of feels that.
I've had so much time on my hands. Like, I know, when was the last game? Friday?
Last Friday.
So it's been 5 days?
Yes.
It's like I've gone to the gym, I think, 3 times. Oh. I've gotten a whole bunch of stuff done at the house. Catching up. Actually, one thing I had to do because I got the notice in the mail was my driver's license renewal. I couldn't get it done with the beard. And I think it expired June 23rd. I'm like, all right, well, we'll see. I think that's like the day of game 7 if it's going to the finals, but it's like, all right, well, this is getting a little bit tight here, and I don't
need driver's license photo looks terrible anyway.
Exactly. Wouldn't matter.
Yeah, the sad part was this is going to be the last ID that I have with hair.
Oh, the one you have currently. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Oh, no, I just shaved off the beard, sprinkled it on top.
You had me going for a second there.
Hopefully you kept your pants on in the last 5 days, too.
Oh, can we just let that die?
Man, that took on a life of its own.
Picked up Sancho there.
Rihanna hang, that's fine, but Pan without pants. I'm just, yeah, bad man.
It went well beyond just Pan.
Yeah.
Well, I know that.
There's Radic Bonk's mullet.
Yes, I know.
That was actually fun on Friday.
That was
a disastrous game.
It was. We can talk about that in a bit.
Sure.
But first, we got one last recap to get into and get through.
Yeah, so we're sitting through the game. Cardinal, you turn to me and you're just like, we are not doing a recap. Screw this.
I did say that, didn't I? I was quite adamant about it, I believe.
Yeah. So
I just didn't feel it wasn't exactly a game that I wanted to have to go back and go through.
Yeah, I didn't either.
So,
Canuck, where did you want? Were you home at this point, or were you still in transit?
I was home. Oh, okay. I was home.
Welcome home, Canuck.
Yeah. So one final game on here.
Yes.
Okay. Game on.
Game 5, Friday, May 24th, the Senators at the Penguins. And as Pan just said, I didn't want to do a recap for this one, and I didn't. I didn't feel like it, I wasn't going to, but yet another listener has come through and done a game recap for us, which is always appreciated, but it's especially appreciated for this one because I wasn't going to do one. So, we have a recap for this game from Todd in Toronto. Can you plug this one in for us, Canuck?
This is Tavin Allen, host of the Cat Pee Podcast here in Toronto, with a family-friendly game summary of what would turn out to be the final game between the Ottawa Senators and the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Pens leading the series 3-1 made this a tense one, but hopefully the Senators would prevail. In the first period, an early hit by Alfredson and a shot by Turris provided what would appear to be a glimmer of hope following the 7-3 debacle from Wednesday. However, it took 6 minutes and 25 seconds for that c***er Brendan Morrow to score the first f***ing goal of this game. What worsens this is that the first goal is scored by a guy named Brendan, and as I'm sure most of you know, all guys named Brendan are utter fucking f***s. Play continues with some good hits dished out by Neil and Mathot, but sadly something is missing from our forwards. Perhaps the f***ing ability to put a motherfucking puck in the fucking net. Speaking of forwards, at 13:41, that fucking Sidney Crosby gets a hooking penalty. The only reason this happened is because Gary Bettman was busy getting his and was distracted from the game, and it was somehow allowed. 1-0 after 20. On to the second period, where the game goes into f***ing gang mode. Bullshit call on Pageau at 5:54 for interference, which makes the referees look like they suck the devil's c*** at the intermission. Then c***er James Dickface Neal scores to make it 2-0 for the ass Penguins. With Malkin being in the box for being a dumb mother, it would be a good time to score, Senators, but why not instead put your f***ing ankles behind your ears and let the Penguins shove their cheese riddled into your f***ing ass and give up a shorthand f***ing goal by Letang, whose name means goat f***er in Finnish. Mikalik scores to make it 3-1 with f***face Malkin replying 3 minutes later. The period ends 4-1 Pens. Into the third period, there's some confusion in the Sens dressing room, where McLean probably said to his team, "This is our last chance. Get out there, hit him hard, we can win this." It appears what the team heard was, "Go out and dance like a bunch of f***ing f***s and get your dick sucked by f***ing f***ers and drink your own f***ing and promptly go to bed and give it a right good s***ing. In fact, eat the f***ing s***, you just s***, you f***ing f***er." Confusing times indeed. Two more goals gave Neil the hat trick for the Pens, while Kyle Turris put one in for the Sens. Too little, too late. Final score, Pittsburgh 6, Sens 2. That does it for the season. This is Todd Van Allen for the Sens call-ups from the Cat Pee Podcast, keeping this family friendly. And so in closing, go Sens go, and Leafs suck.
Okay, I'm done.
Gold.
Oh, Todd, that was gold. I have no other word for it.
I was a little bit concerned about the tone and content about that.
Oh, nah, I don't care. I've heard worse on the CBC.
Yeah.
Radio, television, whatever. So... Oh, that's brilliant.
What if it's mail it in anyway?
Yeah, Cardinal mails it in. Somebody takes care of it. Fantastic.
Oh, I love it. That pretty much summed it up.
Kind of summed up my reaction to most of the game, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Canuck, you weren't there for this, but this is pretty much the reaction that Cardinal and I gave to that guy that said that Leonard should have started.
Oh, I felt a little guilty after that. I really did.
That's a stupid freaking comment.
I ripped him pretty hard.
Somebody said that in the bar?
Yeah.
I don't know who he was. He came over, yeah, sat down.
Just kind of sitting around, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, "Oh, you should have started Leonard. Should have given him a chance." And I...
Both of us. Busted as well. No!
Are you insane? No!
You go, "Oh." I didn't even give him any reasons. It's, no! No! Watch your game! No! He looked like he was going to cry. Man.
And he kind of ran away right after that. So like,
oh, yeah, here. He was done with us.
The tall one with the long hair, he's kind of scary.
And his little friend. I don't think he knows many words. No!
Was that Penn and Teller?
Oh my God. It was funny. But I did feel a little guilty afterwards because, I mean, he, you know, he had a take. His take sucked, but he had one at least. And I should have given him at least a chance to say why he wanted to do that before I ripped on him, but I didn't. So, oh well. Sorry. Anyway.
No, thanks, Todd.
Yeah, that was brilliant, Todd. Thank you. That certainly made a rather unbearable game much more bearable. That's brilliant. Now, coming down from that just a little bit, there's been a lot, obviously there's been locker cleanout day, and Coach McLean and Brian Murray, the GM, has had their sort of end of season press conferences and so on. There's been a lot of talk going on. I wanted to hear from you guys what you thought. Oh, I mean,
that was pretty much Guillaume cleanout day.
Well, he's been officially released. He tweeted about it around noon today. That say his tweet was, "It seems official now, thanks to the fans, management, owner of the Sens, an A1 class organization."
Yep.
I'm like, okay, you know what? That's a pretty cool thing to actually do. It really is. To say, well, you know, it didn't work out, but at least he's being quite cool about it. And, you know, stuff happens. But, you know, just, I mean.
Can we trade him now?
Well, technically you could.
Yay!
Well, no, the trade freeze is until draft day or day before draft day.
Come on, someone's got to want first shot.
Oh, yeah. Because we picked him up at like 12:01 of trade deadline last year, or of a free agency. We picked him up at 12:01. Yeah.
That's sure. Where the phone just rings and pring. Hi, Guy. Yeah.
I'll take it.
Brian Murray calling. Yep.
No, I just wondered, you had the number for, you know, that local Arby's.
Binghamton? Anyway, yeah, that was a bit of a field experiment. But, I mean, there's a lot of players we can talk about, and we'll get to that in a second. But just your overall thoughts on the season, as well as the playoffs. Mine, I think I expressed them, well, at least to you, Penn, when we were out. I was sad that the season was over, but considering the amount of adversity that this team has gone through, with the number of injuries to very, very key members of the team, I'm sad it's over, but I'm really happy with how well they did. Because if anybody had said in February, mid to late February, when we were just decimated, almost literally, that we would make it to the second round of the playoffs, I wouldn't have believed them. And the fact that we did, yeah, we didn't do well against the Penguins, but the Penguins are a powerhouse, and we have still a lot of players coming back from injury, so I'm okay with it. That's my summary of this entire season. Sad it's over, really happy with how they did. What about you guys?
Well, actually, I you're talking about locker cleanout day. I don't know if you saw the post that Radek Bonk's mullet did. I think I sent it to you. He had some really good nuggets in there. Did you see this one?
Which one's this?
Probably, but that's a few days ago, so I don't remember anymore.
Well, let me just give you a summary. I can't go through it all. I'd recommend anyone to check out Radek Bonk's mullet website. He has it's called an inside look at items left behind in the Ottawa Senators locker cleanout day. And just to give you a highlight, like, he goes through each player and what they left behind. So, Jason Spezza, a working draft of his Captain C acceptance speech with the date crossed out twice. Jean-Gabriel Pageau, his bottle of JGP secret stuff. Peter Regan left behind his career.
Ooh. Ouch.
Colin Greening left behind a few shards of fiberglass, some nuts and bolts, and an oil can. Chris Neal, a hefty stack of business cards from desperate local dentists. Here's a good one. Eric Condra, his copy of Hitting the Net for Dummies.
Ooh. Ouch.
Yeah. Jacob Silverberg, his golden helmet, golden skates, and golden jockstrap. Ladies? Andre Benoit had an angry note from a delirious Lars Eller, who heard player number 61 was responsible for his concussion. Jared Cowan left behind his jockstrap, which he didn't bother to put back on after the Penguins tore it off.
Yeah.
Apparently, Sergei Gonchar left behind Evgeny Malkin. Eric Greiba had a big stack of parking tickets, traffic violations, court hearing dates, jury summons, and restraining orders, all sent from the Montreal police. And Eric Carlson had a dusty old leather-bound book with La 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 on the cover. It burns the hands of all those who are trying to open it. And Craig Anderson apparently doesn't have a locker. It's just a brick wall.
Okay, I like that one. That's good.
Robin Lehner, a note he forgot to give to Craig Anderson, which simply said, soon, wink. And Daniel Alfredson apparently left behind the puck from Game 4, labeled to be thrown out.
Nice.
There's other ones in there, but
nice
lighthearted look at the players and their season.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And there's also been, sorry, Pan, your thoughts. I'm skipping ahead.
Sure. That's it. No.
Well, no, that's how Canuck closes podcasts. You actually have to say something.
Yeah, basically, an overperform. In every way, shape. Goaltending was just spectacular with all three guys that we had. Goal scoring, it could have dealt with more of it in the regular season, but the defense was extremely strong. That kind of went the opposite way in the playoffs.
Wasn't that funny how that worked? That was such a strength in the season, and then in the playoffs it almost became a liability.
Well, I'm wondering if it has to do with the fact of who was actually on the blue line.
Oh, and Greiba was out, right?
Well, Greiba was out, and
Cowan looked terrible.
Cowan was in, but he was nowhere close to 100%. And you know, I'm not trying to make an excuse, but I think it might be, you know, he certainly gets a mulligan on that because he came back and he tried to do the best he could at what he was, the level he was able to perform at, and whether Cowan at, say, 60 or 65% or whatever he was versus Greiba at 100, well, before he got hurt, or, you know, some of the other people who were in there consistently throughout the season. I don't know. It again, I'm not, it's not as if I'm angry about it. It's just one of those things that, I mean, Cowan, McCauley, Carlson, Spezza, they're all came back from injuries, but there's no way, they weren't anywhere close to themselves.
Yeah.
And so, Gonchar decided to play for the other team in game 5.
Gonchar had a rough 2 games. 4 and 5 weren't really very strong games for him, but the whole team did not have a good game 4 or a good game 5. Yeah. Nobody did.
No.
They were getting run over by a steamroller that they were just kind of outclassed. They just couldn't, you know, get up to the challenge, and that's okay. You know, it happened. There's no point in being angry about it. It happened. They got there. You know, they got there, and we beat Montreal, which was a really, really big deal.
Round one is hard to get out of.
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of contenders go in round one. I know there's this tendency to think, oh, you only made it past round one, but round one is hard.
It's the one where everybody's at, you know, at 100%. Like they're wide open throttle. We have to get out of this round to have a shot. So we'll put everything on the line now. And if we get out of this one, then we'll play with whatever we have left afterwards in the second round. So it's not an easy round to get out of, exactly. And they did, against Montreal, a team that we were not supposed to beat. And they did it in 5 games, including a game that Pan was particularly fond of.
Hey, both of them were just phenomenal. That was a lot of fun. Actually, one thing that I forgot about, because Canuck, what game did you go to again? Was it game 3?
Against the Pens, it was game 3, though. The double overtime win.
Yeah. And I was with my buddy, and I was like, oh, I see Canuck up there. There, that's where he is. So I was like, well, which one is he? So we pretty much kind of played a game of Guess Who in section 317.
Okay.
You've got a great face for it, too, by the way. So first, okay, well, it's a guy, right? Yep. Okay. Well, you know the game Guess Who?
Yep.
Yeah, so you just like ask
the 20 questions. Does he have this color hair, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, okay, so it's a guy. Yep. Tick, 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 tick. Okay. Is he wearing glasses? Yep. Tick, 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 tick. Does he have a beard? Yep. Tick, 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 tick. Is he bald? Yep. Tick. There he is.
Oh, wait, that's a Pens jersey. No.
So now I just lost my train of thought there. But no, the home games were a lot of fun.
I was watching the game. I wasn't playing Spot the Canuck or whatever.
You almost said something else.
Where am I?
A little self-deprecating humor.
No, but no, it was a fun year.
I freaking saw a guy in a Wendell Clark jersey right there, too.
For Christ's sake. Really?
Yes. Older guy.
You got to wonder why he's
wearing it. Was he senile and forgot where he was?
I
would have actually gone over and said, why are you wearing that exactly? Since that team's not playing in this game, why are you wearing it?
Well,
just out of curiosity. I mean, it's an honest question.
Remember the time Wendell Clark beat you guys up? No.
Yeah.
I don't think he was on the team. Anyway.
Remember last time your team won a playoff series? Oh, sorry. It's a long time ago. Anyway.
One of these days, games, yeah. You're just going to pull out the 67s chant because that's the same year they last won the cup, right?
67. Oh.
Whoa, 67s.
Hey, that's clever. That'd be fun, actually. Oh, I want to figure out something for 513. 13-5-13.
Oh, yeah.
The great meltdown. 13-5-13.
That wasn't a Friday, was it? No.
No, it was a Monday, wasn't it? I don't know. Anyway.
I can't remember.
Figure out some sort of good chant for that.
May the 13th be with you.
Email the show!
Something like that.
Let's move on.
We're all over the place here.
Let's getting back on track.
Totally mailing it in. And it was a Monday.
Okay, thank you.
Anyway. Got to research something, right?
Mm-hmm. Player impressions from the playoffs series. I mean, obviously, JGP was beyond anybody's expectations. And I have to give Brian Murray and Coach McLean full marks during their press conferences, because they both singled out Pageau as somebody that they didn't even expect to be up here this season, let alone able to contribute what he did.
It's interesting.
Pageau thought he was going to be up here.
Yeah.
Well, good on him. He certainly worked hard enough to get here.
Yeah, what was it? Ben told us that he was started on the fourth line.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's his first year out of junior. He's not going to be on a top line in the AHL. Not to start, at least. Until everybody else starts leaving or getting injured. That's where he started moving further up. The one player I was really impressed with pretty much every game, and it was a guy who didn't have the greatest of regular seasons compared to last year.
Greening!
Yes, exactly. Colin Greening. If he can play that way in the regular season next year, oh my God, is he going to be fun to watch.
If he can just keep playing that way in the playoffs, I'm fine.
Well, that too. But I was really impressed with how much, like, he didn't have a throttle lever or pedal anymore. It just opened the taps and off he went. And he played so hard and played very, very well.
Yeah.
There's always these guys that are so-so and kind of you wonder in the regular season, and then something like a switch goes off in the postseason.
Yeah.
And
away they go. I mean, we can talk all night about them, but... Greening.
No, I really liked him in the playoffs, and it's not like anybody had a blowout regular season.
No, not really.
Like, no, actually, no one did.
Well, not on this team.
I can tell you who I was disappointed in.
Uh-oh.
And I was really, well, it was Conacher. I don't understand what happened. He was sat twice. Nope. He had some good games following
you
that.
You were really mad at the fact that they were sitting Conacher.
Well, I think I might be able to shed a little bit of light on that. Last year was his first year of professional hockey, because before that he was playing in college. So that's 30-some-odd games a year, U.S. college. Last year he was playing in Norfolk.
Syracuse.
And they won the Calder Trophy. He played 93 games last year. He started in the AHL this year.
So just burned out?
Yeah. He's played over 80 games this year.
Hmm.
So he's played basically 170-some-odd games.
I don't think he's really strong defensively, and he was just getting owned on that.
Well, he's not big, and he was absolutely. I mean, to me, he looked like he was just worn out. He wanted to be able to do it, like when he first got here, when he still had some energy left, but he just looked absolutely worn down and worn out. And hopefully, over the summer, he'll be able to recover from that and be back ready to go in September. But he is a smaller guy, and he plays so hard that. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being the 13th forward and he is subbed in and out on a regular basis to try and, for want of a better term, keep him fresh.
Yeah.
Because he does have, he showed to me at least that he does have skill. I was a bit of a doubting Thomas when he arrived. Like, okay, we just traded a really good goalie for a rookie.
Well, that's it, right?
Who's small. And he is.
What would Ben Bishop do for you in this series anyway?
I'm not saying that we should have kept Ben Bishop. It was just the asset that came back that I was questioning.
Yeah.
And I mean, it may work out, it may not.
Do you want him or Zach Rinaldo?
Rinaldo, isn't he a soccer player?
No, he's the cheap shot artist from Pittsburgh.
Philly,
sorry. Yeah, it's one of those Pennsylvania teams.
I think there's a lot of upside with him.
Yeah, and potential. And he's
top
young.
Top nine. It's just going to be patience.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's young, like everybody else on this team. He's young.
But he did have the clutch goals for him. Yeah. He got two of them.
The one where he, against Montreal, where he scored it in 28 seconds left after being benched. And he actually went out of his way to talk about that. It's like, you know, the coach sat me down and I realized what I'd done wrong and I knew I'd done wrong and I deserved to be benched. And that's when he told me to get out there and go score a goal. I kind of looked at him and went, are you serious? Yep, go. Off you go. So he did it.
What were you doing out there before? You know, it's,
well, again,
good on him to respond. Good on him.
Exactly. And he's young, so
you want that.
There's lots of upside. Yeah.
You don't want these players you bench and then they come back and like, well, you know, I just play my game.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He's got hard. He's got fire
that
too.
He had with Spezza when he was younger.
Yeah.
And pretty much till last year.
Yep.
Like, oh, no, I'm not defensive. And you just hang out and dangle and back pass to no one.
Well, and I mean, to a certain extent, he could do it because the wingers he was playing with for a while could cover for that for him. But
like
now
Jacques Martin couldn't stand him on the team.
No. Well. Oh, well. Bye, Jacques. And who's looking for a job now? Jason Spezza is still employed. Anyway. I mean, we could go through every player on the team, but is there anybody in particular else that you wanted to bring up?
Well, Condra, after dumping on him all year.
He played really well in the playoffs, too. Does he score? No, but he
got one in Montreal, didn't he? He got a dirty goal.
Oh, did he? Okay.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. One of the late ones.
All I can say is I want to keep him around just for the PK.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
He better not expect much more cash.
Oh, he'll probably get a little bit more, but... I don't think he's going to be expecting, you know, $3 million a year. He's not for $3 million a year. He should be scoring 20 plus goals a year. He doesn't. So give it up. Not happening.
Yeah. So that was good.
You had a note here that Carlson was estimated at 50 to 60%.
That's what I thought. Yeah. It was something like that.
Was that his own assessment?
I think it was him who had said that. 60. It was some, I can't remember the exact number, but I was a little shocked by how low he had said it was.
So is this something that's going to get better?
Continuing to rehab, yes.
I hope so. I think it was probably just that it's healed and it wasn't painful anymore. But now you can probably spend the next 3 months stretching.
Yeah, he's got to rebuild the muscle there as well because it's going to have atrophied at least partially.
And Spezza had a knee issue?
Yeah, he tore the meniscus in his knee.
Yeesh.
Yeah. Now that's something that Yorkie was talking about it on the radio. He said, it's not hard to fix. I've had that done. It's one of those things that just happens. And he was still skating on it, even though he had done this.
Yeah, that's okay. Cause McCulloch's gotten that done too, right?
Yeah.
McCulloch doesn't even have knees anymore. He's like a bionic man. He's just permanently bent knees.
Well, he's going to go off to Germany now, right? So get himself some chocolate knees and see how that goes.
Chocolate and beer.
I think I'm done with McCulloch.
You think?
I was very... where was he?
He was hurt.
He's always hurt.
Yeah. Well, we knew that. He had one season where he wasn't hurt. That's the exception, not the rule.
I'm done.
Well, we got one more season with him.
We may not be done with him.
Yeah, we've got one more season with him. His pay goes up to $6 million. He's going to be the top paid player.
Well, we'll see how he does next season.
He better turn it on. How old is he, too? I'm just going to look that up.
I can't remember.
He's not old.
28. Yeah.
He's not old.
But this is his peak.
Yeah.
As a forward, this is a time to peak. It's all going to get worse from there.
Blackhawks lead the Red Wings after two periods.
Oh, wow. Really? What's the score?
1-0.
1-0.
Oh, okay. Come on, Detroit.
yeah. I don't know. Chicago's
my favorite edition, though. Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I'm pretty sure Stooley would disagree with this. Mark Mathot.
I do know one thing. Stay the hell away from Columbus. Don't take anything they are selling. Nothing.
They're the plague.
Nothing.
Okay, I think you can stop picking on Stooley now. He's bigger than you are, after all.
But everyone's bigger than me. It's not like he listens anyways. Granted, he got involved in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Not that we can post anything, but...
yeah, really.
Just fantastic pickup.
Yeah, I have to agree. I don't understand what Columbus was doing in that trade. It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Of upside with Foligno?
I guess they did. I don't know what tape they were looking at.
And just the way he fit in with the community here, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in Ottawa, right on. And he's jumped into it with both feet.
Yep.
Very impressive.
And I really like having the local boys.
Mm-hmm.
And he totally speaks Ottawa French, too.
Yeah. Well.
Not just any French, Ottawa French.
Ottawa French. There's another almost local boy who we haven't talked about yet. And that would be André Benoit. He's from Saint-Albert.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
When he was a teenager, he worked in the cheese factory.
Wow.
And after the cheese factory burned down, he went to, between he and the Ottawa Senators, got a pair of tickets for every single employee who worked there to come to a game just after that.
That must have just wiped out all of his pay.
Well, what a cool thing to do. Like, yep. Somewhere where he used to work. And I mean, he's been really solid for this team this year. And we talked about it a little bit in the last episode, so I don't want to rehash everything, but I'd be okay with him coming back next year. If he ends up being sort of a 6-7, sometimes he's playing, sometimes he's not kind of guy, I can't think of a player who would fit that role much better.
Yeah, yeah, I liked him.
Especially because he won't mind sitting once in a while, which yeah. I'm okay with. Like, if he's willing to do that role, great.
Yeah.
Do you guys take Gonchar back?
Nope.
I have mixed feelings on that. It depends on what he's asking for. He wants
2 years. That's it.
Yeah, no. But he wants the same salary, I'm sure. And he'll get it.
I don't think he'll get it in North America.
He just said, I want 2 years.
Yeah.
I want two years and a good fit.
And that's the problem. I don't really know whether he can play another. No. I think he's a good fit. I think this season proved that. And I think he can still contribute as a top four defenseman on this team. I'm just not sure whether he can do it for another 2 years. He can do it if he's willing to do it for one. Okay. And then we'll look at it again after that. But for two, yeah, no, yeah. Sorry.
Foligno got 19 points this year. Mathot has 11.
Yeah.
It's not like the Sens have to worry.
Anyway. Yeah.
Sorry. Can I, what was
it's
that?
Not like the Sens have to worry about cap issues, but
no, it's not the cap
issue.
Though. I don't want money tied up in Sergei Gonchar for 2 years, because if after next season he goes, you know what, I'm a 35-plus player, which means my money is guaranteed whether I retire or not, I'm retiring.
Halfway through the season, he said it was pretty clear he wanted to be in Pittsburgh.
Maybe on entry level, it doesn't matter. Yeah. That's boo-boo.
He's going to Pittsburgh.
Did you take him 2 years at Chris Phillips' money?
No, I don't want him at 2 years. I really don't. And he can't go to Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh's going to have major cap problems in the next 2 years.
Oh, they can
major.
Pittsburgh. Oh, no. It's this year or bust for them.
Yeah.
James Neal traded. Fleury traded. And that solves everything.
We'll take Neal.
You just have to deal with
It's a little fresh, but we'll take
it. Freaking great would that be? Good player.
And no, Dupree will be gone.
No, he'll sign for cheap.
You think?
Yeah. He knows he's not that good.
Nice.
Like, same thing, and you put some of these UFAs on the list here. Like, Matt Cook's going to re-up for about the same cash. But anyway, that's kind of looking forward. Who did I want to dump on? Can I dump on Regan again?
You have all season. What's the point? No, go ahead.
It cost me Jesse Winchester.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that was not a good trade-off as far as I'm concerned. I'm with you on that one. I would much rather have had Jesse Winchester back because, Corey Conacher, that he only had an on and off switch. And the on switch started the moment he stepped on the ice. He just went at 100%, 100 miles an hour all the time.
Yeah.
That's why I was really happy when he signed over in Europe. Because
the off switch happened when he gets cheap shotted in the head and nothing happens from it.
Yeah, well, that's when somebody else is switching his switch off.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brendan. Shanahan.
Anderson? Is he the number one next season?
Yep.
I think so.
Absolutely.
I'd like to see them, well, now that we pretty much know we're going to have an 82-game season, I'd like to see Leonard get around a third of them.
Yes.
I don't know whether he'll get that many, but he certainly will get more of them.
I'd like to see him intentionally get 55-25-ish,
yeah. That's too many games, Dave. Pan.
Or is it? It's too short.
It's too short. Yeah, 20-25 games. You need him to play.
And he will.
And he's going to be contract year, too.
Yeah.
Granted, that doesn't matter. He's not going to get much. Goalies and all right.
He got lit up against Pittsburgh, but to be fair, anyone would have got lit up.
Oh, you're talking about Anderson now.
Anderson, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He got lit up, but it wasn't him that was the problem. If he's making one or two saves, he shouldn't have to make the third.
The only thing is, I think they did get under his skin a little bit. A couple of points is...
Oh, it's frustrating.
He gave up on the plays, but, I mean, he shouldn't have had them. Like,
exactly.
He shouldn't have had to worry about it, but just the fact he gave up was kind of uncharacteristic.
Oh, myself, I just sit in the net and cry.
Well, yeah, geez.
And he was also...
I don't want to do it.
Man. He was also getting jostled and run and everything else, and none of that was going on down at the other end. Bagoon wasn't getting touched.
Yeah, I was really disappointed in the number of shots. Because Vokoun is not a good goaltender.
No, he's not. And I'm really hoping that Boston shows that. Just pepper him. Because Boston is going to go in and hammer. It's going to be interesting to see.
They're going to have a big guy right in front of the net and just hitting at him too.
Yep, exactly. And they're going to be hammering the defensemen and hammering the forwards. And I think the rules will be a little different as to what's going to be called and not called because it's Boston. It's a
big market, yeah.
It's an original six team on a big market. And they want to have this as a big, important thing on NBC. So we'll see. Speaking of...
We didn't talk about the big guy.
Which guy is this?
Who?
Number 11.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's Elfie. What can you say about him other than, led the team in scoring in the playoffs? Again?
What do you think?
One more year.
Well...
I think he'll be back.
I want him to come back. I don't think he's coming back.
I do. And it's not because I want him to. I think it's because I think he will come back.
For a full 82-game season?
Uh-huh.
Well, this was the first year where he wasn't injured.
Yeah, do you leave on a high note that way, right?
Yeah, and it is a long season, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's like you don't want it like a bulging disc or something that which you never really heal from or something like that, right?
Well, he said he's taken some time to think about it, which of course he should. He's going to, including a sit down with Murray. Now, I don't know. This is speculation.
I think they've got to set themselves a time frame.
A time frame as well, but I think he's going to have a conversation that says, are you going to make a move here? And are we going to do something next year? Or is this another play the rookies and we're going to be the young pesky team again?
And if it's still a rebuild, I don't think he wants to do it.
I don't think so either. I think
it's a lot to give, but if you listen to the I keep cutting you off.
Well, I just don't think he owes the city anything more. So he did it this season. This was an incredible season of young guys that overachieved. Why gamble at again on a long season?
Because I think he enjoyed playing with an awful lot of young Swedes, and he enjoyed it an awful lot.
He doesn't care about the Olympics, though.
No, he doesn't care about the Olympics. I think he really enjoyed playing with a bunch of young Swedes. He's healthy. He can still play.
If you want to play with a bunch of young Swedes, wouldn't you be interested in the Olympics?
He's already got how many? He's got
his gold medal, right?
He's got world championships. No, I mean playing with them here.
No, I know, but it's...
And I can also see him saying, okay, if I sign for next year, I feel really good after this year, so next year I'm only playing 60 games in the regular season. I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
Maybe not 60, but
or you just want to be some type of weird assistant coach?
No, he wants to play, I think. And he may just, you know, I have to take a maintenance day once in a while. So if we're playing 3 and 4 days, I'm probably only going to play 2 of them or something like that to make sure that he can stay healthy. Because it's when he gets worn down that he gets hurt.
Well, who doesn't like playing with a couple of young Swedes?
Well, that's got to be a record.
I didn't even get that one.
Yeah.
Oh, never come mind. On.
You just wanted to use it then.
That's going to be the longest we've made it into an episode before there was a sound clip played in a while.
Oh, no, so he's got some. You got the Mathot one. Anyways.
Yeah, you passed me the note.
Psst, play the clip.
Anyway.
True. Dance monkey.
So you think Alfie won't be back, and I do, so.
Oh, I want him back. Don't get me wrong.
No, I think he will be back. It's not that I want him back. I think he will be.
McLean seems to think he's back.
I think you're right, though. Colonel, I'm going to go between you guys because, after all, why don't we just all agree somehow? friggin' bad at that.
No!
But I think in the sit-down with Murray, you're right in saying, I'm going to come back if we're going to be a competitive team. Mm-hmm. You got Detroit and Boston, which have already punched their tickets in for next year. You got to be in the third or fourth spot in the conference.
Let's put Pittsburgh in there. That's 3.
No, they're not in us. They're not with us.
Oh, in our division. Okay, sorry, right. Yes. Not conference.
Okay, look who's in the playoffs right now. This game's not over. So you have Detroit, Chicago, Los Angeles, Boston, Pittsburgh. All 5 of those teams have won the cup in the last 5 years. That's the team. That's what you're going up against.
Mm-hmm.
We're not at that caliber yet. We're heading in the right direction. We got some fun.
Yeah, so do you want to go broke now and get it, or
we don't have to go broke? Something. I don't think.
Well, if you want Alfie, I think you got to pick up a couple pieces.
There's also going to be some realignment with teams who have to shed salary because the cap is going down.
I think he needs to be opportunistic on that kind of thing.
Oh yeah, mercenary, absolutely. Oh well, let me help you with that. I'll take that one off your hands for nothing, or a 7th round pick.
And I'm looking at Melnick. He's got to open his wallet.
I don't know how much cash he's got in there, though.
Oh, come on.
Well, Murray said it in the presser, too. It's
we're not spending to the cap. We're spending to a budget.
We have a budget.
How many teams have won the cup in the last 10 years that weren't spending to the cap?
Carolina. I'm done.
That's the only one.
Is LA at the cap?
Well, I mean, within reason.
I think they probably are, but...
With the 2 Flyers guys? Yeah, big time.
Good point by you.
I love how you call them Flyers guys. They're obviously in LA now.
They're still the ex-Flyers guys.
But the thing is, like, you can still make a profit. by making it to the 2nd, 3rd round, and then that's good enough.
Well, so we'll that's see. What we're about now.
As a business.
We're just back to making profits?
Not with Melnick.
I know.
I think he wants a balance, but he wants to somehow play money puck.
I think he's looking to break even. Like it would be nice to break even is the way he works at it.
Well, he saves $3 million on Spezza this year too.
Yeah,
we'll save $3 million there.
I'm not saying we go out and grab three heavy names and just spend to the cap for them, but
I am.
Grab one.
I'd be surprised if there isn't a big, at least one significant name addition to this team.
We can afford another $6 million a year contract.
Yep.
And it won't put us up to the cap, but not even close.
It'll put us over the floor.
Yeah.
Because Gonchar's contract is coming off the books and so is Alfie's. So, I mean, Alfie, I presume, will have another one, but there's still other money to keep us at the floor because that's where we are. We're at the floor, not at the ceiling. So, has to be money coming in somewhere. Anyway. Any thoughts you wanted to make on Paul McLean or Brian Murray in specific?
McLean, just sign him on a lifetime contract.
Yeah,
hey, you're stealing my lines.
Sorry.
He's another guy that they need to re-sign because he's going into the last year of his deal, for yeah. sure.
And I think Murray wants all the coaches.
Yeah. Well, there was an interesting question. Pan and I actually guested on, were guests on another podcast. Well, I don't know if it's a podcast or an internet radio thing or whatever you want to call it, on Sunday.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, too.
It was a blast. And one of the questions from a listener, because there's a text forum on this broadcast that came up was, what were our thoughts on the possibility of assistant coach Dave Cameron being approached by one of the NHL teams who are looking for a head coach? And I have to admit, I had not thought of that until the question was asked. And I went, ooh, I better think quickly on this
and
one.
And I totally deferred to you, too.
And I can certainly see, especially given the number of teams that are looking for a new coach who don't necessarily, they may not want to go with a retread because there are lots of retreads around, to be certain. I can certainly see a team approaching him. My own feeling would be, given how this team has worked in the past two seasons, there's obviously a lot of learning for coaching style and ability and everything else under Paul McLean. I'm guessing there's still stuff to be learned. And there's still growth to be done as far as being going from an assistant coach to a head coach. So I don't think he would want to leave. I mean, he may, but I can certainly see him wanting to stay.
I think job security says that he stays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Detroit just tied it up. 1-1 in the third.
Yay!
Nice. Wow.
I'm not sure what my thoughts are on that series. I think Chicago's the class of the West, but it's always a fun story to see someone you just assume is going to win have to battle for it. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We got to face these buggers next year. So
exactly. We're going to be facing Detroit next year.
We've got 8 games against Detroit. 8 games against Boston, which we could barely beat. 8 games against Toronto that just keep owning us. That's not good. This team's got to turn something around.
Hey, we want to stay with Young and Pesky?
We are. We just made
middle-aged and winning.
Middle-aged bald guys.
Yeah!
Well, it's going to be. We'll talk about
this. This is a lot more freeform than our normal shows.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of structure to it.
No refunds.
Added to the list of coaches looking for work today, John Tortorella, which is going to be a drag because that means there's not going to be any more Torts and Brooksy exchanges. And I mean, those were.
Yeah, the press conferences might go over 30 seconds now.
Yeah. That's going to be a drag. No, well, more Torts and Brooksy.
If somehow Claude Noel gets fired, Torts ends up in Winnipeg. He's got Sarah Orleski the whole time.
He'd be nice to her. You have to be.
Yeah. No, but the thing, she does such a good job.
Oh, yeah.
It's her questions that he'll actually give out a nice, elaborate answer to. So, like, his pressers might be about 20 minutes a game.
Wow. I have to put in extra water for that.
Just, yeah. Anyway, she does a really good job with them.
So, I mean, just from this year, the coaches that are looking for work are now Tortorella, Ruff, Martin, Sacco, Boucher, and Vigneault. And the guy from Dallas whose name I can't pronounce.
Don't worry about that.
However, interesting piece of news today. Remember we were talking about this last week and I happened to mention Kirk Kleinendorst?
Yep.
Yeah.
He stepped down as the coach of the University of Alabama at Huntsville Chargers today.
Oh, something's happening.
Well, as reported by a guy from ESPN Magazine, thank you, Twitter, he's confirmed that he wants to get back into the AHL or the NHL, and he just found it very awkward to be looking for another job while still working as the head coach at UAH. And they're going from, they're actually changed, they're a Division I hockey team, but they're going from being an independent, they're actually going into one of the conferences there.
He's a good coach, and what scares me is the Marlies might get him if Vancouver steals their coach.
Could be. I didn't know that he is a former assistant coach in New Jersey, as well as being a scout for the Devils. I didn't know that. I only knew him from Binghamton. So, a little self-glossing for the forethought on that one by me. Thank you very much. There's been so much talk going on about UFAs and the fact that the market is thin. You know, there's not a lot of them out there. There aren't too many big names who aren't, no offense, but who aren't getting up there in years. David Clarkson seems to be the one that's talked about the most. And I mean, after that, you're looking at Dupuis and Iginla, Brendan Morrow, Jágr, Michael Ryder in Montreal, Derek Roy, the diver. And that's why I put together a list of possible amnesty buyouts, because if they're bought out, they're automatically a UFA and their current team cannot re-sign them. And I'm wondering whether that might be a more interesting, I mean, not like necessarily all these people are going to get bought out, but certainly some of them are. And that may be where some of the more interesting signings happen in free agency season. I don't know. Some, just a thought. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Yeah. I agree with a lot of your list here. Well, and Luongo, because they're going to get like a first round pick or nothing. Friggin' Gillis.
They're not going to get anything for
they're not, him. No.
Because I've said it before. Luongo, good goalie, bad contract.
Bad contract.
Nobody wants the contract. Everybody wants him, but they don't want the baggage that comes with him.
Yep.
So he's not moving. And Gillis, he managed
if
to get rid of Vigneault.
If he doesn't buy him out, he's an idiot.
Well, what's
he's
the,
a good goalie.
He is.
Just with that. You have to get rid of Schneider.
They've got $9 million in goaltending?
No, they can get rid of Schneider.
Yeah, but then they're stuck with the contract forever.
They're stuck with the contract for 9 more seasons, which they don't want, which is why they think they can trade him. And they can't.
But they can't.
Exactly. They can't. End of discussion. It's like trying to trade Rick DiPietro, except Rick DiPietro isn't a good goalie. It's even worse.
The Vancouver Mafia is going to make an appearance here.
Oh, it's going to be ugly. But how Gillis even still has a job is mind-blowing. But there are so many players that have... I was staggered when I mean, this list isn't complete, but players who have 7, 8, 9 seasons left on their contracts. Luongo, Hossa, Brisgawa.
What's up with Hossa?
I'm not going to mention anything because I don't want to jinx it.
That'd be nice. I don't see him coming back here because, well, let's see. We signed him and then traded him the next day. I don't think
that was Muckler.
That wasn't Murray. Yeah, it was Muckler.
It's still the organization.
No. He'll be fine.
It would be nice. I certainly wouldn't say no. Imagine him playing with Spezza now.
What's his age, though?
31.
32.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, he's young.
Welcome back, Hossa.
Yeah.
He learned how to win.
He said that he doesn't really want a 32-year-old. He's looking for a 27, 28-year-old, though.
Hossa learned how to lose, then he learned how to lose, and then he learned how to win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We need rings in the room.
Yep. Absolutely. No, I'd be all for it.
Just who do we have now? Gonchar, and that's it?
Yeah. It's only one.
We need more experience than that. Gonchar's going to be gone, probably.
Got a lot of medals, but not a lot of rings. And I'd much rather have... Nice. I'd much rather have Marian Hossa than have Brad Richards.
No, we don't need a center.
Exactly. The one that freaked me out when I was looking this up, Vinny LeCavalier has 7 more seasons on his contract.
Yeah.
He's 35, 36. I forgot to look up his age.
But Tampa Bay can't afford the buyout.
they may not be able to. Aren't they fairly near the cap with
Montreal is going to do something stupid.
Give us Bork.
Oh, I think Bork's going to get bought out.
No, Montreal's going to get Lecavalier.
Really?
You think?
Who's their number one center? Gionta?
We just played them. You think I'd be able to remember this?
Subban.
Like he was crying in the coach's arms and all, right? But
I'm completely blanking out. This is the second.
Plekanec is a good second.
Pacioretty.
I don't know if he's the number one, but he certainly took a lot of key faceoffs.
They're gonna push hard. Guarantee you they're gonna push hard for him. I don't know if they'll get him.
Yeah. Well, maybe. That's a lot of contract to, like, that's a lot of cap hit. $7.7 million for 7 more seasons of cap hit.
Yeah, but how does the payout work? It's gonna be half of the cash or something like that?
Yes.
Tampa doesn't have the money to pay someone $3 million not to play.
Mm.
Hey, is Malkin a UFA this year or next year?
End of next year.
Oh, because that would be a way of keeping Gonchar. Get Malkin.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
If he could have a little side deal on that, that'd be awesome. But
that's why I think they need to move James Neal.
If you have Malkin, then right, who's your number one center, Malkin or Spezza?
Who gives a damn?
1 and 1A. Fair enough. Yeah, Malkin and Letang are UFAs next season, which is why Pittsburgh's going to run into cap problems. Both of them are going to want more than they already make, and they already make a lot of money. Because if they both end up making, Sidney Crosby is about $8 million a year, isn't it?
8.7.
Well, they'll
that's
say
his ego.
Then those.
I'm serious.
Well, we both want 8.5 then. So then you're looking at almost $26 million in 3 players.
Yeah.
Yike. Good luck with all that. How about Havlat? He could be a buyout.
Yeah, he's gonna be a buyout. I don't want him.
Yeah, great guy. Made a glass. Made a glass.
Was it? He came back from injury, played 5 minutes, got hurt.
Yeah, it's too bad. Too bad because when he's not injured, my God, he can skate.
I think my favorite was when he separated his shoulder trying to throw a punch.
Oh,
that was when he was with Chicago. It's just like, oh my God, man.
I see. You get the Maple Leafs listed here. You figuring Lilies and Grabowski?
Lilies.
I was thinking Lyles.
Lilies. The bunch of pansies down there.
Well, I put
That's what I call him.
Okay.
Lyles is gone.
Well, he's been a healthy scratch for an awful lot of this season. He's making 3.875 for 3 more seasons. Gone. But no, I put Grabowski in there because he's making 5.5.
Nope.
For 4 more.
Nope. They've got worse contracts than that. Where is his name? I think he's buried. Tim Connolly?
He's a UFA.
Oh, is he? They're done with him?
Isn't he? He's down in the minors, but he's a UFA after this year, isn't he?
I'm trying to find it. I can't find him.
No, they re-signed Gary Roberts.
Jeez. Why aren't they still paying what's-his-face?
Yeah, they're paying Darcy
Duncan. Yeah,
yes.
Oh my God, dude. Still next year. That's awesome.
They're still paying him next year.
Well, Vancouver's going to be doing that. They buy out Luongo. Oh, no.
They got to get rid of Komisarek.
Ooh, there's one I missed. Yeah.
So it's going to be Komisarek and Lyles, which, whatever. Toronto's got the cash to do it. Grabo's Grabo. It's just a Brian Burke contract. You're kind of stuck with it.
Well, they all are.
The part that I love, though, is that the two guys that have been bought out and now Brad Richards, which we pretty much know is going to be bought out, are all Glenn Sather signings.
He should be bought out.
It's unbelievable.
No. Well, like Gillis. Fire the coach. You bench.
Nah,
your job.
It's because he's sick. You know Messi is running the show.
Well, then Messier needs to be let go.
No.
It's a disaster.
Well, that'd be a PR nightmare. He just got the reins. I think he just got the reins this year.
That's true.
The moose is on the loose.
Yeah. Yeah!
okay, let's move
Elliot
on.
Elliot Moose.
We're just trying to drag this on. I don't want this to end.
Well, this is a question which I meant to ask last week, and I'll ask this week because you had more time to think about it. In every year for me, post trade deadline, or even sometimes at the beginning of the season when players move around, there's always one or two names that just don't sound right where they are. Like they played in one place for so long that suddenly they're somewhere else, and you're like, that name doesn't sound right there.
Like a Ginla?
Well, like a Ginla, except that one doesn't, for some weird reason, that one doesn't bug me at all. A Ginla playing in Pittsburgh? I know he's been in Calgary for his entire career, but it doesn't strike me as being odd. I don't know why, because that one should, for sure.
It should strike you odd. Basically, the call with the agent was from Pittsburgh was, join me. Together we can rule the galaxy.
As father and son. Yeah, okay.
What the hell?
It's Star Wars.
No, I know, but...
But for some peculiar reason, Ginla in Pittsburgh doesn't seem to strike me as really, really odd and wrong. The one that does is Yager in Boston.
Yeah, that's weird. It's wrong, black and yellow.
And I mean, I know he's been all over the place since he left Pittsburgh. He went to Washington and then he was in, was it after Washington? He went over to the Czech Republic. Then he came back.
No.
Then he played
in Dallas. Rangers.
Philly,
Rangers.
Dallas. Oh, that's right.
He's been all over the place, but playing for Boston just doesn't sound right. It doesn't. And I, no matter how many times I hear it, it's like, no, that doesn't seem right. It's weird. Does any of these come up for you?
Can I say Gonchar in a Sens jersey?
Easy.
No.
Well, you can. Sure.
No. Steve Mason throws me off because he's in Philadelphia now, which I keep forgetting. What else? Sheldon Surrey just in any jersey kind of confuses me.
Hey.
I'm still not over Saku Koivu in Anaheim.
That is a weird one too.
And Mike Fisher hurts a lot. Even though I didn't like him as a second. I really didn't like him as a second center.
No.
At the money that he made.
True enough.
But it actually hurts to see him.
Okay, I can see that one. I don't know. Canuck, you got any weird ones?
No, but your question reminded me. I heard some people saying, well, I could see Alfredson coming back, and then maybe, you know, if things don't go well, they trade him for some assets, and, you know, he gets a cup run, and like, no, they're not going to do that.
He's not interested in it.
He's not interested in it.
Yeah,
even if it helps the team. And to be honest, I think the way Ottawa franchise, it means more to them to have someone like Alfredson and Phillips have their entire career be in Ottawa and hang their name from the rafters in Ottawa than to even...
And leave it pure.
And leave it pure. I think that means more to the organization that is defining its, you know, identity than it does to trade it away.
Yeah, I think it's also a little bit different from where Ottawa is versus where... Because a big one in memory for this is... I got in trouble with your friend there, Canuck, on Twitter with this. But with Sundin in Toronto was... Ottawa has enough prospects. We don't really need more. So what's another second round, even a first round pick going to give us?
Which friend?
Ray Girl.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah,
she got a little frustrated with me.
it's like your response to, I should have started Leonard.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want any type of compensation for Alfredson. I just want him to end here, and I'll be happy with it.
Exactly.
Toronto had nothing in the pipe, and they still have nothing in the pipe.
Not
so
much.
That's where they felt that they were screwed, especially when he came back and signed with Vancouver.
Well, I think part of the problem also was Toronto fans went from, we love you, to get out and bring us something because we want something for you.
It gets awkward pretty fast.
It was a flick of a switch. Well, you should be trading yourself because it's for the good for our franchise. Well, quite frankly, I have a contractual agreement which says I don't have to do this.
Yeah, but
and I don't want to.
Especially so not moving, though. Like, why wouldn't he want to get... Looking back at it, I'm sure he would have gone, yeah, I should have gotten moved for a chance to win.
Well, if there was somewhere that he could have gone, maybe, but... Yeah, the other side of the coin is, where are they going to?
He could have gone somewhere. Someone would have picked him up.
Probably. But he was pretty long in the tooth by that point. They wouldn't be getting an awful lot.
Yeah. Well, whatever. You get something.
Yeah. As opposed to him walking away, but...
Yeah. He could have created a market. I think that's a little bit different. Like, Kiprasov took a little bit of flack for it this year.
Mm-hmm. That was worse.
I think the only team that really wanted him was Toronto. And he had a newborn. He's just like, Toronto's not going to win.
Toronto wants everyone.
I know. Well, yeah, especially when you're old, right?
Well, they think you're entitled to everybody because everybody should want to go there.
They could have had Luongo. They just decided to trade for Wendell Clark.
Yeah, long time ago.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Fourth overall, I think.
Yeah, makes it beautiful.
Keep trading those, man.
Don't go there. We could have had Kopitar.
Oh, I'm baffled that I got nothing out of that tweet.
Yeah, so am I, actually.
Because what do you say?
That's one of your favorites.
How do you favorite that?
Yeah, you just favorite yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know that's one of your favorite Muckler, I hate you moments.
Oh, how bonehead...
Well, we could have also had a stall. Same draft.
Yeah. Luke Bourneau.
Yep.
Instead, we got Brian Lee, which got us. Gilroy, which got us.
Thing. Which is an improvement.
Nice. Nice.
Hey, that opened up the contract that we could sign Filatov to a qualifying contract.
Nobody bats a thousand. When it comes to draft picks, that's for sure.
Yeah, but Muckler...
Every team can do this. They can look and what if.
Consistently.
But at least Ottawa has had some good drafts.
After Muckler passed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And we're going to have another good one this year, I have no doubt.
Yeah. Do you know when we pick? Because I thought it was when...
It's 17th.
Why 17?
Is it not based on when you get kicked out of the playoffs?
No.
So it's based not. On standing.
It's based on the way that it works is the first, the non-playoff teams are ranked 1 to 14 in inverse order to their finishing order, i.e. lowest becomes first, etc. After that, it's all about finishing order. It's not about how far you go in the playoffs.
Meaning?
So it's the top, the top, like the 24 through 30 are the division winners. So... Chicago, basically, you can build the entire order right now.
But wasn't Chicago it was always 30. Like the, well, like last year, because Jersey picked 29th.
That's right, because that was based on how far they went in the playoffs. It isn't anymore.
Oh, it's not.
Except for the Stanley Cup winner. That's the only one that moves. Other than that, it's 1 through 14 of the non-playoff teams. After that, it's by how far you went, but sorry, it's by... ranking at the end of the regular season by points, except for the six division winners. So the six division winners. So for some someone like Washington, exactly. You know, they get screwed at least a little bit because they're a division winner because of the winner of a crappy division. So their pick is later than where their points should indicate they are. So rank them all up to 30, Chicago being 30th because they were the best team in the league. And what happens is the Stanley Cup winner goes from wherever they are to 30, and everybody moves up one to fill their spot.
And we're 17th.
We're 17th.
And you know what else?
Mm.
That means we're 16th.
Why?
Jersey doesn't get a pick this year.
They have the option of picking this year and moving it off.
Or last, it was last year or this year.
Or next. I'm pretty sure they're picking this year.
Well, I hope they are because I don't know why they picked Mateau at 29 otherwise. But unless it's just a shove at Rangers fans. But
that's all that was.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing to be in the second round and picking 17th.
I'm going to look that up.
I'm not complaining, but it seems odd.
100%, yeah, I'm not 100% sure about New Jersey, but I'm about 95% sure of everything else. I'm sure there's somebody listening to us right now going, you're an idiot, you're wrong, and they'll post something in the forums.
I'm going to look it up. You guys continue.
No, no, no. We're about to go on to another segment. You have to stay with us. You can look it up later.
I want to do it now. Yeah. Keep talking. I'll just jump back in.
La, la, la.
And by the way, Calgary has 3 picks in the first round. Columbus has 3 picks in the first round, and Buffalo has 2 in the first 16.
Columbus is going to be dirty good.
Yeah,
if they could compete in the way that they did and still get 3 picks.
Yeah, Columbus is picking 14, 19, and 22. Buffalo is picking 8 and 16, and Calgary is picking 6, 23, and 29, according to a list I put together.
How's that Rick Nash thing going now?
It's phenomenal.
Well, it's going to the point where they're probably going to...
Yeah, listen, he got a goal in the playoffs.
Nice. Nice. Let's get over to some email. We have some email to get through. Pan, you're up with the first one, and then you can go look it up.
Okay. Fine. I'll read the email. Were you on email?
Yes.
Man. Okay. From Paul in California, subject ABC. Thank you. Actually, before I read this, I had a meeting at work, an offsite meeting, and the team leader that was running the meeting just like printed out some emails and he handed them out. He's like, here, read this out loud. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. It was 2 pages long.
Oh no.
It's like, I don't think you want this. It's like, obviously I don't tell them about the podcast and nor can I say about what I do for work on the podcast. But it's like, you've got no clue as to how friggin' bad this is. Like, no, just read it now. I was like, can I pre-read it first? That's what I normally do with the show, and I still screw it up. I was like, oh, this is all right. Anyways, so from Paul in California. I know the Sens fans should cheer for the playoffs. See?
Take two.
I know who Sens fans should cheer for in the playoffs now that the Sens are out of it. ABC, baby. Anybody but Crosby. Paul in California.
That's what I'm doing.
Thanks, Paul.
Canuck, you're up for the next one from Elaine.
Yeah, an email from Elaine. Thank you for the show. Hi, Collops. I wanted to email the show and thank you for the podcast this past season. It's been great to listen every week. And while I know it makes sense to take a break during the off season, I am sad that I won't get to hear you folks for a while. I feel that I've learned a lot about hockey listening in on the show and have grown from a Senator follower to a true fan. Cardinal, thank you for being an awesome host and for being the best reader of emails. Oh.
Okay. Thank you. Bit of a dig at everybody else, but thank you.
Yeah. Canuck, thank you for the hilarious sound clips, in particular Snappy, and for bringing our spirits up when we needed a laugh. Pan, little bro, good job for making fun of Dad on the internet, bringing math to the show, and for diving into this project. I now really get what you love about hockey.
Pan, why you no read better?
I'm looking forward to more episodes in the fall. Like Alfie, you guys better be back. Enjoy your summer, guys. Elaine. Thanks, Elaine. So the short version of that is Cardinal's got a good voice, Canuck's a smart ass, and Pan's my little brother.
Well, the only thing I would say in response to that is the sound clips are funny when you're not the one being schnappied.
Yeah.
That can get a little tiresome. But it's still funny. I'm up for the next one from CB Inc. Subject is rules. Rules? I have to disagree with you on the referee situation in Pittsburgh. I did some following up with the NHL rulebook, and there are some rules that not all hockey fans know about. Number one, 2 minutes for parking in Sidney Crosby's parking spot. Number two, 2 minutes for drinking Malkin's maple whiskey.
Hang on, Sidney Crosby isn't old enough to drive, is he?
Well, he kind of looked like he might need a shave sometime soon, so he might be able to drive now. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe. Number three, 2 minutes for skating too close to the Pittsburgh bench. Number four, 4 minutes for making eye contact with a player or coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Number five, 2 minutes for scoring against Pittsburgh. Number six, 2 minutes for disagreeing with Glenn Healy. Number seven, 2 minutes for getting hit with a Pittsburgh stick. Number eight, 2 minutes for fighting with a Pittsburgh player. So that's just an extra two after the 2, 10, and 5 that you get for...
instigating with a Penguin?
Yeah, exactly. Number nine, it's 4 minutes for not fighting with a Pittsburgh Penguin. So
that's like screwed either way.
Yeah, you're done. Number 10, you get a game misconduct for hitting on Mario's wife. Number 11, you get a 2-game suspension for bleeding on Pittsburgh equipment. Very unthoughtful. Number 12, a 5-game suspension for bleeding on Matt Cook. And the last one is 10-game suspension for trying to steal a Pittsburgh stick with your face. Hope you have a good summer and give us one summertime show. Seize the day, CB Inc.
Come on, CB Inc. You don't want 6 summer shows again?
We did do a number of summer shows last year, didn't we?
I think we had a couple of lockout shows.
Well, we did a whole bunch of lockout ones too as well. Oh, how the time flies.
We've gotten so much better at this.
Well, till tonight. Canuck, you've got the last one.
Yay.
I saved you from it.
Jim from upstate New York. The subject is anyone but Pitt with a capital S Berg. Hey, boys. Greetings from northern New York on the Canadian border. Finally figured I better email the show. Been listening to you since you took over, and you guys rocked it. Canuck, keep up the good work with the sound effects. They help. I finally figured out why they call him Sid the Kid. Anytime there's a penalty or a bad call against Pitts with a capital S Berg, he started to whine like a 5-year-old. What a baby. I agree with Pan that next year the Sens will be contenders. They have a lot of talent and know how to use it. Thanks again for a very entertaining and information-filled show. You help us out-of-towners love the team more and more, plus hate the Leaftards. Cheers, Shaggy. P.S. Maple whiskey is okay, but I'm hooked on black cherry bourbon. Friends don't let friends be Leaf fans. Well, thank you, Jaggy.
Now I'm going to have to try black cherry bourbon if I can find some because I'm intrigued with the idea.
Detroit-Chicago update, boys?
Yes.
1-1 late in the third.
2.5 minutes left. This thing's going to go on until 4 a.m.
Oh, my God. Game 7. Going to overtime and the game. Oh my God. In Chicago.
It's only 10:30. We're actually doing pretty good.
Can you imagine how loud that arena is right now?
Or how on the edge of the seat they are.
Yeah. Dropping the pin here.
Pins and needles. But, you know, every time they're trying to rev up the crowd, I bet it's just deafening. Absolutely deafening.
Yeah.
Did you find what it was you were looking up? I've already forgotten what it was.
Oh, yeah. It was for the Kovalchuk penalty. You're right. They can pick this year. And they probably will.
So is it next year that they'll have to
so if they
give it up?
This year, they have to give up next year.
And they are picking, just a second, in my list, they are New Jersey's 9th. In a deep draft, they're going to want to pick this year.
Yeah.
For sure.
Do you think they can somehow trade next year's pick and have someone screw it up?
Maybe if they trade it to Toronto.
Anyway. Hey, Karth! You want to bury some more contracts? Sure.
That's a pretty much guaranteed way to screw it up. Trade it to Toronto. Here you go.
Or the Islanders, man.
Now, before we go, I made a list of people who I wanted to thank for this year. Collectively, yeah. I mean, this is just my list. You guys can add to it. I'm going to take a page out of the Russell playbook from last year where I'm not naming names because if I do, I'm sure to forget more than half of them. And I don't want to do that because we've had from the guests who we've had on from all across North America on a whole myriad of subjects and from our very early shows where we really weren't sure what the hell we were doing and people were very patient with us, which we appreciated. To recent people who we've had on or people who've sent in clips, like Todd Van Allen's from tonight, or some of the, you know, the one that Labrew did for the
oh my god,
for the Snappy. Like, some of the stuff just stands out. But I mean, anything well, that people
you said that we're thanking those from North America, Labrew, you woke me up again with your freaking tweet.
Did Chicago just score?
Are you kidding?
I don't know.
1:47 I don't the puck went in the net, but the referees are convening it. Maybe it's an offside or something.
Uh-oh.
You can't call it back.
Keep a watch on that. But from the, you know, anything from, you know, clips being sent in, people
breaking
who emailed.
Breaking news, boys, breaking news.
Exactly. Sorry. People who emailed to the show, people who posted in the web forums, people who, you know, communicated with us on Twitter. All of these people have been key to the success that we've been able to have so far this year with putting this show together, because we all started, and I mean, I think I speak for all three of us when we really didn't know what the hell we were doing, because we were all guests on Sens Underground last year, but being a guest on somebody else's show where they know what they're doing to try and doing it ourselves, bit of a learning curve. And I have to give a ton of credit to Canuck on this one, to sort of harness the technology, because he's the one who's done all the production work and figured out how we were going to get together and how this was all going to work. And it has. I mean, it really has. That's the really freaky part about it, at least to me.
Been some trial and error there for sure.
Yeah. And two people in specific I want to thank by naming them, and that would be Russell and Shredder.
Yeah.
Russell has contributed. He was on the show. He's emailed. You know, got together face to face. He's been incredibly encouraging to the three of us to make sure that we really, you know, move forward with this, and that it was very supportive of it, as was Shredder. He's still the guy who's running the Sens Underground website. He's the one who publishes the episodes every week. Does a ton of work behind the scenes that we don't give nearly as much credit to as we should. But both of them deserve a great deal of thanks, at least from me.
Yeah, even after the show is packaged and produced, Shredder still has work that he does to publish it. Now, I don't think it's much, but I don't want to downplay that. I mean, he has to take time out of his busy schedule. And he's more busy, I think, now than he was when he was on the shows. So he's a big kudos for that.
Indeed.
Stooley will get you soon. I've been pushing. You got to calm down a bit.
Yeah, we'll have Stooley on.
I really
for sure.
To.
Yeah, and I also want to thank, just very quickly, Pan, you'll have to help me with this. The name of the two who we were on the podcast with on the weekend, Yates.
Yeah. So it's Yates and Ames. Fan versus fan. It's a really good show. They know their hockey. They really know their hockey. So they've got a podcast. They actually do a couple during the week and then one on the Friday nights. So you can search with them. Their Twitters are at NHL on the Ice Ames, A-M-E-S. And
just search for Fan versus Fan. It'll come up.
Yeah, Fan versus Fan. And NHL_the_ice.
That's easy to remember.
And that's Yates.
Yeah.
Because these guys, I actually get a lot of my summaries.
Reveal.
Here's some of the magic behind it.
They do a good job.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun to be on their show. And for me, it was personally a lot of fun because I didn't have to organize anything. I could just go on and talk.
It was I love my role in this show. You just try to be a little funny. All right, well.
That's all I do.
Anybody else you guys wanted to thank or stuff you wanted to talk about?
Wow, no goal.
Yeah, it was no goal. And it looked like because they're going to call up some penalties against Detroit and Chicago for neutral zone, nothing play. By the benches. Controversial for sure.
Oh boy. I should probably get a TV and have this on.
It's seconds away from overtime. I'm watching on delay, so it's probably overtime now. Yeah. Well, I mentioned the possibility. Do you want to talk about the kind of the magic behind Studio 65? It's kind of an off the cuff thought. Maybe, you know, now it's the end of the season. I can share quickly what we do. Well, for those that haven't figured out, we're not all sitting together in a room. I'd like to tell you a story of how you could approach Studio 65 down on, you know, Bank Street and walk through and say hi to the receptionist and come into the big studio. And but no, it's not the case.
You guys didn't donate enough for that.
You just didn't donate. We're actually all at our homes. We're talking to each other on Skype. And surprisingly, that's worked out really well. We weren't sure how well it was going to go. When we started off, we decided just to, well, let's just try it and see. And I think the first few episodes, you could really kind of tell we were feeling each other out. And any time we had a guest on, too, it was it introduced that complexity because now you have to learn someone else's cadence and how they talk. And, you know, you can listen back to some interviews we had with people where they just kept talking and talking and talking, and we had no way to kind of wave our arms because they shut up, you know, or something like that. And
but that's okay, though, because we like guests.
Yeah, no, I don't mean that in a mean way. It's just kind of it's kind of a funny when we think back to it. It's like,
we upped our mics, too, eh?
And yeah, about halfway through the season, I think we all had the same high quality microphone, and that makes a big difference. And Skype's come a long way.
Exactly. And when we tried to get together, that's when episode 15 happened.
Yeah, I was going to say the only time we've ever actually been in the same room, we had some technological difficulties, and it was worse than any show we've ever done.
Yeah.
We're not even doing video, we're just doing audio only, just to keep the quality as high as we can. And it's surprisingly been working pretty good. I don't even know if you guys can tell. You probably can now that I've said that. And certainly the guests we've had on have already clued into the fact that we aren't in the same room. But the reason I'm sharing that is just to, you know, technically speaking, this wasn't hard. You know, we jump in a room and jump on Skype and talk, and you know, we don't take ourselves that seriously. We have some fun, and you know, there'll be some changes, I'm sure, as we continue on next year. I'm using an Apple to record, just using GarageBand. I'll probably change the technology it's used for sound effects, because the one I have, I think, is being discontinued.
It's also full.
All that episode where Shredder was calling me out for all the Team 1200 sound effects. It's funny because I think each of you had this experience too, where we were listening to a morning show at different times, and I know I listened to one several weeks ago, and the sound effects they're all playing, I couldn't believe it. It was like, okay, there was the Price is Right horn, there was the sad trombone, there was the Is There an Issue pop up. I'm like, what the, like, who's stealing from who now? I think subconsciously I must have gotten a lot of ideas from them. I know for sure the snappy one was from them, but after that, I was surprised how many they must have subconsciously got in my mind. But anyone who's not from Ottawa doesn't really know them, so whatever. We'll try to be a little bit more original.
Which is why we kept getting all those emails going, what the hell is snappy?
Yeah, what the hell is that?
Poor Carson.
Yeah. All this does prove, however, that why we're telling you this is because we really want other people to get involved in doing their own show. And
yes,
we've proven that it can be done without people being in the same room. We've had guests from all over North America, and it worked. And we're not co-located, and we don't use video, and it does work. It takes a bit of practice. Listen to episode one or two to show what no practice sounds like. So... And I mean, these go on sometimes a little longer than we want them to, but that's just because we're all kind of chatty. So there really is a way to do this that's simple. When we started, I was using a USB headset. So, I mean, you can pick those up really inexpensively. The software, if you don't use an Apple, you can also use something called, what's it called? Audacity?
Yeah, you know, if you just want to record yourself, or, you know, keep it simple, you can use free software called Audacity, which is available on all platforms. So,
yeah. So there's lots of ways to do this. And I know when Shredder was on, he was really encouraging people to do it. I wanted to give another plug to say, please, please do a show.
Yeah, I want to plug that too because, you know, there's Shredder has been awesome in helping and getting our feet on the ground and showing me, you know, things. And I've been learning, Frank, you know, every episode I learn something. And, you know, when you do these things late at night, you sometimes forget something and you make a mistake. But, you know, I don't know. He may not, you know, those guys may not want to keep the site running. I mean, it's really Shredder that keeps that going for us. His vision was to have a bunch of submissions for that. So, you know, I say if, you know, you want to keep this ball rolling and you got any inkling of thinking of doing something, well, cultivate that over the summer and bring it in the fall. We're not going to be offended. We're going to be very supportive of you as well. Talk to me.
I was going to say you can also, I would be willing to go on to, if somebody else wanted to start something, I'm actually willing to go on a show or two and help you out with it.
If you want me to interrupt, I can do that.
I won't host it. I'll help you host it.
Sneeze, snappy, 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 snop. Sneeze, snappy, 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 snop.
That took a lot longer than I expected it to.
Oh, just one last snappy.
But, I mean, can help you with some technical stuff. I'm more than happy to help you figure out how you want to run. Like, if you have an idea of what you want to do, I'm more than happy to help you figure out how to do it. And I'll even be on an episode or two to help get it rolling. I'm more than I'd love to do that.
And I can tweet like a maniac.
Yeah. give your Twitter password to Pan and he will get you out there. There'll be tons of stuff coming out of your feed and he'll find you followers.
Kind of like Sports Central today.
Oh, man.
That's bad.
They must have gotten locked out because holy jeez.
Yeah. But there's, I mean, just quickly on Twitter, we're getting close to 900 followers, which is really cool. So hopefully we can continue to grow that because that's been a lot of fun as well.
That was Cardinal's goal.
It was. We're getting
there. Hey, guys, just wait till what I have in mind for follower number 1111.
Uh-oh. Okay, well, we'll see.
I remember when we did prizes, like, hey, we hit 100.
Hey, we even gave prizes via Twitter. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, SenseCap. I'm out of things to talk about. Do you guys have anything else you wanted to say? Any more thanks or thoughts or anything like that?
It's been a fun season. Thanks.
It's been
a
lot of fun.
Yeah. Thanks for the emails from everyone over the season. It's encouraging to know that we're being listened to. And
you know what? Just send us a quick message because I'm hoping we're not just doing this for like 10, 15 people.
Yeah. It's really nice. It's acknowledged.
And it's neat to see who's listening.
And it's also really cool.
Oh, we just gained one. Yay.
It's nice when somebody disagrees with us because apparently we can't disagree with each other.
And when someone does disagree with us, we tear them apart.
Yeah, we yell at them. So you can email us at podcast@sensecallups.com. The forums will be up and running all summer, as far as I know. There have been some threads started about sort of post-season, and there's always activity in the forums as well around the draft and free agent season, free agent frenzy. It may get a little quiet over the summer, but there are always people posting in the forums at sensunderground.com. We'll be around at least on Twitter all summer. At Sense Call-Ups. We are planning on doing a summer episode. It would be likely after both the draft and the free agent frenzy. So we may, if there's only going to be one, it would be sometime in July. If we feel like doing another one, there may be, but we'll see. We'll see. The hashtag for our summer is hashtag Alfie one more year. That's all I want for next year. I mean, I'd love a lot of other things, but I really want Alfie to come back.
And you can pledge to send money on the board for that too.
That's right. You can. Can you go over quickly what that is and how to do it?
Yeah. So that's, I don't know how to do it. It's actually, it's probably going to be on Radic Bonks Mullet, his website. Really cool kid too.
Funny as all get out.
Yeah, we got to meet him on Friday and he ended up re-honoring at McLaren's, which is quite hilarious. It's a pledge form that you do so that he can compile the results in regards to how much you pledged for Offerson to return next year. So if you want to, I don't know, donate $1,111, I can't, but Yeah, so just with that, you just put the pledge form in, and as Alfredson comes back next year, you just do your donation to the Sens Foundation. And once again, your choices with that are, of course, just to the Sens Foundation themselves, Rogers House, and it's a section for mental illness. I hate Bing so friggin' much. This keeps screwing me up.
Oh, well.
And I'm trying to find the name for it.
No Bing. Use Google.
I hate my computer. Donate so I can get a new freaking computer.
Well, actually, there is still a PayPal link on the sendsunderground.com website. And if you donate there, that money goes to Shredder. And that would be good because he's the one who's still paying for all the hosting for the website and the upload of the feed for the podcast and everything else. So if you feel inclined, slide a couple of bucks Shredder's way because we certainly appreciate everything he's done for us through this season. I've got nothing else. I'm tapping out until the fall. Well, actually, till the summer, I guess.
Yeah.
Until we meet again?
Oh, wait.
Oh.
Because for the outro song, I'm going to do a little tribute to Alfie. What do you think of that damn CBC? Oh, I just tipped my hat. Tribute to Alfie.
I didn't actually see it, to be honest.
Did you see it, Pan?
Nope.
Oh, well, there goes that discussion.
I heard it was an embarrassment, though.
I thought it was a complete embarrassment. I actually kind of got excited that they said they're going to do a tribute to Daniel Alfredson. They kind of wait. And only thing they showed visually was him in the All-Star uniform and just clips of him scoring at the All-Star game and maybe raising, you know, being acknowledged at the All-Star game. So there's never a shot of him in a Sens uniform. And the music was this, apologize to the music buffs, I don't know this song, but it was an old song, I'm going to say from the 40s, called Alfie. It was like a female voice, kind of like a...
These guys are out of touch.
I don't know. Maybe it was the 60s, but it was, I get the impression it was an old song, like a, I don't even know how to describe it, like a, you get the point.
It was not bad.
It was just pathetic.
Oh, well. So you're doing a better one as our outro?
Anything I could do would be better than that. So for the outro, you're definitely getting a better one than that.
Excellent. Well, I'll look forward to hearing about it.
Just sent us in a pool party?
What?
That's good.
Pool parties are starting?
I think we've lost Pan. He's mumbling.
All right.
Well, apparently, Canuck, you've already RSVP'd yes to this thing. Is an RSU pool party?
Yeah, well, we'll see.
All right.
Game on.
Yeah, all right. Enough of that. Anyway, until we're back in the summer. And
so we fall off the rails at the end of the year.
Exactly. We hope to be back for an episode during the summer.
Five, right?
But we also hope to be back in the fall. So we hope that you'll be listening again then, so don't do anything with this feed. You never know when something might turn up, because we might just suddenly go, hey, let's do a mini episode. We've been known to do those from time to time. Yeah. But until we all get back together, stay pesky, my friends.
One more year.
Have a great summer.
He scored more goals, assists, and points than any other player in Ottawa Senators history. Number 11, you know the rules, Daniel
straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, you get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke.
Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. And you're never gonna know if you never even try.
Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
standing in the hall of fame.
Yeah.
Just do the John Travolta strut down the street.